Tremendous words of that song. I don't know if you paid attention to them, but tremendous. Absolutely. The love of Jesus that he has given to us. And he has given to us those his tremendous self for us that we can have a life. A life that is completely and adequately planned. He's got it all taken care of. And we thank the Lord for his love. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning and go to John chapter 6 is where we're going to start. John chapter 6. John is the gospel where the I ams are given to us in reference to Jesus. John, and we're going to start in chapter 6. So turn there. We're thankful that Jesus, God, has completely packed our bags for this journey of life. God has not left the Christian undone at all. There's not anything left. You go on a trip, and most of the time, even if you got all the clothes and things like that, usually on a trip, maybe a vacation of some sort, you go and you think, oh, I wish I would have brought my binoculars. Oh, I wish I would have brought this. Or, mostly leave. You know, we're short many times in life, and we're not very adequately prepared for everything that we encounter because we don't know what's going to take place. We don't know everything that's going to happen. But you see, God does, and before your trip ever started, God packed your bags. He gave you everything that you would need or foresee anything that you could possibly run into, and he has adequately given you those things. I'm reminded of Thomas standing there in John chapter 14, and Jesus has just got done saying that he's prepared a mansion for them and his disciples and, of course, for us. And I'm going to bring you to God. And I know I'm going to leave, but you're going to come, and I've given you the way. And Thomas says, no. Jesus, we don't know where you're going and where we should go, and we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, Thomas, I've got everything taken care of. You see, Thomas was an individual that wanted to have a map in front of him. He wanted to have everything lined out, but the fact is, folks, that God has even given us a map, hasn't he? Yeah, he gave himself, but he's given us not only himself, but he gave us his word. We're thankful for the treasure map that he had given. Thomas had no clue, but Jesus says, Thomas, you're taken care of adequately. I've got you covered. I thank the Lord for the scriptures which are given to us. And is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. And a few weeks ago, we studied God's complete word. He gave us himself. He gave us his word. So Thomas is there. He's saying, we don't know the way. And God says, well, I'm the way, but I've also given you my word. Thomas was there and he said, you know, and Thomas liked to be able to think through things like I do and think through every part of it and reason everything and come to truth. But Jesus said, Thomas, I'm the way, but I'm also the truth. You don't need to figure everything out. I want to tell you something. I'm thankful that I don't have to figure it all out. Going through struggles in your home. You're going through struggles at work. You're going through struggles financially. You're going through struggles physically. And you don't have the answers. You say, God, how are you going to meet this need? How are you going to supply? I don't have any more things that I can do. And Jesus says, Thomas, or he might say you by name, Sean, would you trust me? Because not only am I the way, not only am I the map, but I am the truth. I've got everything figured out. You just need to follow me. Thomas was there, thirdly, and by the way, God's given to us not only himself, he's given to us his word, but he's given us the truth, which is the church. Remember, the church is the pillar and ground of truth, a place where we come hear God's word given, and we can understand God's word. Folks, it's important that you come to church, not just so that we can have a good attendance. In fact, that's not the point at all. We come to church so that we can hear the truth preached and made clear to us so that we can have that truth. It's the pillar and ground of truth, and it's something that God has given to us as individuals, as believers, that even the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so it's important that we understand the truth. And thirdly, Thomas is there, and he's, you know, asking the Lord. And of course, Thomas wants a vehicle to get to the Lord, not necessarily a motorized vehicle like we're talking about, but he wants a pathway to get there. And that's the way Thomas is. He wants to know how he's even going to have the power to get there. And Jesus, again, thirdly answers, I'm the way, Thomas. I'm the truth, Thomas. And I'm the life. I'm the power to get there. And we recently looked at the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given to us to direct us in truth as a means of getting there. The Holy Spirit is the means as he gives us his, and he never works aside from his truth, the Word of God. And so he gives it. And we have seen in the past many weeks how God has been so good to us in giving us Jesus to completely, adequately pack our bags for everything in life. I'd like to end this year looking at the great I ams of Jesus Christ, claims of himself to his disciples and to us about that completeness that we have. And so the mini-series that we're starting this morning is the complete I am, the complete I am. We're going to look this morning at the bread of life. So you're in John chapter 6, and I want you to see some words of Jesus, and it's mentioned several times about being the bread in chapter 6. So this is the bread chapter for those of you that love bread. Here it is. Look at chapter 6 and verse 35. I'm just going to give you the verses. We're not going to read through the whole thing because we're going to go through a number of things in chapter 6 here in just a few moments. I am the bread of life. John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What did he mean? He was the bread of life. Go down to verse 41. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And so obviously the Jewish people had a struggle that he was the bread. Then down in verse 48, he says again, he reiterates, I am the bread of life. And then in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Father, I need your help right now. I need your help to give the truth that you want to give to these people. Lord, you have ordained this message this morning. You have given it. And Lord, I'm the mouthpiece. Lord, I pray that you'd be with my mouth, that I would say the things you want me to say, that I would hold the things you want me to withhold. Lord, I pray that my mind would, that you would direct my mind to go to things maybe that I haven't even put in my notes, or things that need to be said, applications that need to be made, illustrations that need to be given. God, I pray that you would do this work now. I cannot do it in my own strength. I know what will happen. I'll give it, but it will fall very short. And Lord, that would be devastating for me this morning. It would be devastating for these people. God, we are begging you right now. We're asking you, God, would you give your truth through the preaching this morning of your word. And we're going to trust you that you're going to do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What is the significance of bread? I want you to think about that. We live in a crazy world today where bread is getting less and less of making an impact. I love bread, and I'll tell you more about that here in a little bit, but one of my main things that I love to eat is bread. Some of you, you know, meat and potatoes kind of a person. Some of you are dessert. You got the sweet tooth, you know, and you love those things. For me, growing up, the staple for me was bread. I loved bread. I could eat a lot of bread, and it was just is what I enjoyed. And so, but the things have changed, of course, with the processing of food and everything like that. There's been a lot of people that have been getting away from some of that. And of course, the gluten-free area that's out there, and it's getting bigger. But it's kind of amazing. But bread itself, even though it's, you know, kind of been made to be such a big deal, I just want you to think of bread in itself. Don't think of bread in the gluten-free way. Don't think of bread in that way. I want you to think of bread as what it signifies. You know, when somebody says, you know, that, or even the Lord's Prayer, isn't that in there? Give us this day our daily bread, right? When the Scripture talks about bread, we could safely say that it's not necessarily talking about, you know, the wheat or the rye or the flour. The bread in the Scriptures is talking in some ways food, right? Food. The disciples, they sat down and with Jesus they broke bread. Of course, and I believe that they did use bread, but breaking bread didn't always mean that they were just taking a loaf and that's all they ate. They were breaking bread, they sat down to eat. So there was the food element to bread. We ask God to supply the bread for our lives, and we're asking him to give us the nourishment, the food that we need. Bread, if I can put it that way, is significant. Every one of us needs bread to live. Now, again, you say, no, not me, Pastor. I don't need any bread. Again, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our food, our sustenance, the bread which we need, the nourishment and that nutrition that God has provided. You remember the Old Testament back in the Exodus times. You remember the people were just delivered out. Joseph's family in Egypt for a long time and delivered out of Egypt. And a miraculous story how he brought them out, and the people couldn't wait to get out. And it was within days that we read in Exodus as they were delivered from Egypt that they were hungry and they were thirsty and they complained. And God, in his amazingness and his provisions, provided quail, the meat, and also manna, the bread from heaven. And that was their sustenance. That was everything they needed. And by the way, a little side note, you understand that that's all they needed. It must have been some amazing bread, right? And this group of people had no issues with being, you know, the gluten or whatever was in that. This was the perfect bread. It was that sweet honey manna or whatever it was from heaven that God had given, that nobody was intolerant to, that everybody could eat. And it was enough for everything in their lives. And I would suggest to you as we look at this, did you take note in verse 41 that the Jews themselves, the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread of life. Now, we're not getting to that verse with the Jewish people, but of anybody who would understand the significance of the bread, the Jewish people, if they could go back to their ancestors, would have understood that when God sends bread, it's everything that you need, just like in the wilderness. The bread came, and that's all the people needed. It was enough for them, and God gave them the provisions. He gave them the instructions of how they were to gather a certain amount for each person for the 6 days, and he would have enough for the seventh day. They didn't need to get any more or any less. It would be exactly enough. Folks, can I tell you, that's really the message of this morning. God is enough for everything that we need. He has completely packed our bags with himself. That sounds kind of funny. You open up your bag on a trip and there's a person inside. But I want to tell you, we need nothing more than Jesus. If Jesus is there, we have everything. We've got it. Jesus is all I need. I love that little song. All I need, all I need. He alone is all I need. Jesus. That's who he is. We need Jesus this morning. And he comes to us in this phrase, the bread of life. Now, let me get you in context here. Jesus was trying to get away from the crowds. Now, that sounds kind of funny because I thought Jesus was a people person. I want to tell you something. Jesus was a man. Did you forget that? Jesus was a man. Sometimes we can think of Jesus as just being God. And we have this idea, we know that God is a spirit. We think of Jesus as God, and he is, and we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But Jesus, at the same time of being God, was a man. And that's something that our human brains don't understand. But he was 100% God at the same time being 100% man. And that means he had the same needs that we have. And some of you are not people persons, but some of you are people persons. And you like to be around people. Some of you like to seclude, you know, by yourself and be a hermit a little bit. And some of you always want to be with people. And God made everybody different. But Jesus certainly was a people person. But every person at some point in time needs to be able to get alone and to be able to regroup and to rest. And I want to tell you something. Jesus was no different than us in that way. There were times that Jesus needed to get alone, and he needed, like us, to rest. He needed to get alone, and he needed to pray. He needed to get alone with his disciples sometimes and just focus on them. But the crowd right now was very much after Jesus, and I think that we know why. Was this group of people so excited about the coming kingdom that he was going to bring and the spiritual blessings that were coming in the kingdom, which, by the way, we're still waiting for? Was this crowd concerned and excited about all of the spiritual things that Jesus had to offer as Messiah? What was the answer? What is the answer? No. Although maybe there were some about that. And I would suggest to you that there were many devout believers that were waiting. I remember Simeon when Jesus was born. You remember old Simeon standing there and he holding Jesus Christ in his hand and he says, I'm ready to die now because here is the deliverance. Here he is. I'm ready to die now because here he is. He's the Messiah. And he was looking forward to that kingdom and he understood that Jesus was going to bring about a kingdom that was going to be tremendous. But I'll tell you, everybody wasn't like Simeon. Every one of those Jews wasn't like Simeon. A lot of these people, a lot of the crowd was after Jesus. Why? Because he had something to offer them physically. There was healing. There was healing of sickness, healing of this and that. And there was a lot of the physical and there was the feeding. Jesus tried to get away from the crowds at certain times, and there were other times that he was right there, but he would try to get away from the crowds. And in here, in this context, Jesus had tried to get away, to get alone. The crowd continues to follow. The disciples around Jesus are saying, what are we going to do? These people stay with us. There's nothing that we can do to get away. Jesus, what are we going to do? They're starting to get hungry. We don't have a place to go and get food. What are we going to do? You know where this is leading. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Before he feeds, the disciples ask Jesus, where are we going to get the food? And of course, you remember the lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish and the miracle that Jesus did. And Jesus met the physical needs. Before we go on, can I tell you this? That even though Jesus, the bread of life, has come to meet all your spiritual needs, isn't God good that he meets our physical needs as well? Let's not let that aside, that Jesus does meet our physical needs. He does care, sir, about your sickness and your health. Ma'am, he cares about your emotional struggles that you face and the worries and the fears that you have. You know what? He does understand the physical things you're going through. He understands the need. So Jesus feeds the 5,000 and he gave them. They saw his miracle working ability. Jesus, after that, leaves again, but the crowd follows. That's where we're at. I want you to look in verse 26. This is where we're at with the story. So Jesus has fed them. He leaves. They still follow. And they're ravaging about him. And what was their need? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. You see what he's saying there? Okay, so there was the miracles, and I believe that they did follow because of those miracles, but Jesus is saying, you're not just because of the miracles. You got your bellies filled, and you're following me for the wrong reason. You want a free meal every time we turn around. And that's what the crowd was all about. So that's what's been going on, and it is right here that Jesus, looking at them, says, I am the bread of life. And we wonder, what did he mean by that? As we see here, as he says, I am the bread of life, we looked at several of these passages here, starting in the 30s, we see this declaration of the bread of life. He says, I am. I want to start with something that's not so related to the bread. But notice that he said, and he's going to make seven statements in John that sound familiar. He's going to start them with, I am. Do you think there's anything significant with Jesus using that great title, I am? Now, before we move on, I want you to understand that this title, I am, was first seen in the Old Testament early on. Well, let's go back there just for a moment. Go back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. You remember the context would say Moses. You remember Moses, which I alluded to at the beginning. Moses was leading God had ordained Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. Moses is saying, I can't do this, and who am I going to tell them sent me? And what was God's response? We see in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am. Here we read this significant title of God. We refer to it as Jehovah, Yahweh. I am. I am. This title, and God would say, I am, and fill in other things that he was. We have compound names of Jehovah. I am Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. I am Jehovah Nissi, the one that is your banner. Jehovah, and we have all kinds of compound names of Jehovah. I am the one. But there's significance. And everybody listen, if you've not followed this or learned this, God's message here starting in Exodus, I am is very significant to who God is. He said, I am, and that title, I am, in our English, we say I am, and then Jehovah in the Jewish language, I am, is the Hebrew, self-existent one. That means he doesn't need anybody else. When he said, I am, or Jehovah Jireh, when he said, I am the one that provides, it means that there is no other source of provision. There is no other. There's nothing else that can provide for you. I am. I am. Some of you have maybe received an email or a text from me or maybe a note. If you've ever wondered, I think I've told you this before, but sometimes I've used the phrase, God is good. Is God important in that phrase? Of course, it's foundational. Is the word good important in that phrase? Yes, it's talking about his goodness. But I capitalized both letters of the word is. Because God has taught me through this name something about God. God is. He is. It's kind of like the phrase, I am. He is the definition of goodness, and no goodness comes but from God. I am. There is no other one but God that provides, that is our banner, that is our protection, that is our everything to us. God is. And that's what the name I am is. I am. When Moses said, God, Who am I going to tell them that sent me? And God said, I am. There is no other. Folks, I want to tell you, in the applications of your life, there is no other substitute for God. He is. He is God. He is God, and there is no other. There is no replacement. I am hath sent you. Again, the Jews were very familiar with this phrase, Jehovah. He alone is. And by the way, everybody listen to this. It has nothing to do with our belief. You know, there are people out there, there are atheists who say that they're atheists, and they say, I don't believe God. Can I tell you something? It has nothing to do with our belief. God is not God if we believe Him. He doesn't all of a sudden turn into God when we believe. God is God regardless of whether you believe or not. You can decide to deny Him. You can decide to ignore Him. You can decide to pretend He's not there, but it's not truth. He is there. You know, it's interesting in the world where we are living in a society that is going so against truth that it doesn't even make sense. They're going beyond any reasoning. And this sounds funny, but it's not. Do you all see this chair here? You see this chair? What can I do to experience this chair? I can do a number of things. Well, I can look at it, right? We see it. I can touch this chair. I could even smell this chair. I could sit in the chair. Our world, and I'm not being funny with this, our world is teaching us today that this is only a chair if you believe it's a chair. But if you don't believe it's a chair, then it's not a chair to you. And if that's what you believe, that's okay. Folks, I want to tell you something. You can deny that this is a chair all you want to today. And that's up to you. But we all know in this room that this is a chair. Now, why do I give that silly illustration? Because our world is teaching that philosophy today, and people are falling into that philosophy. You think that, well, that's, Pat Preacher, you're talking about the crowds that are way out there that we never even rub shoulders with. My friend, there are people in our churches today that are sitting in our pews that are starting to believe things just like this. I can ignore God and pretend and say that He's not there. You know what? You can do it just like you're doing to that chair, but that does not make that chair not a chair. We need to be very careful that we understand. You know what? I know we're talking about the bread of life today, but we need to understand as we get started in this series, I am. God is, whether you believe it or not. And can I say this? It would be wise to believe something that is truth rather than pretend something that is not, that is truth. Pretend it's not there. What kind of a crazy world do we live in today where we know and understand truth? And by the way, does God give evidences of I am? He does. I am. I am, He is God, number one. I am, He must be our focus. Look at verse 27. Jesus says, labor not. Now remember, He's talking to the crowds. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. What did Jesus mean? Labor not for the meat. These people were laboring. Now, I know that they were just following. They weren't going out necessarily and working. But the word labor here is not just, you know, go to work and earn money. The word labor here is to go full force and work hard at accomplishing something. Work really hard to, These people were working really hard to receive God's blessing in their lives, a healing, a miracle, another meal. They were working hard, and that's why they took all the time to follow him up and down and all around to keep close to Jesus, because they were laboring so hard for the next meal. And Jesus said to them, don't work. You don't need to labor about these things. He's not talking about just work with a hammer and a whatever, or a shovel and an axe. He's not talking about that kind of work. He's saying, don't press so hard for things that are going to go away. It's amazing the emphasis, even just talking about food. It's amazing the emphasis we put on food. And I'm sorry, you know, ladies, I don't understand all what it takes. Every once in a while I do. When my wife goes away and I've got the kids and I've got, you know, and I'll make a meal. And I, by the way, I like to cook. I love to do those things. But I will tell you this, it takes me a lot longer than it does the ladies in my home. And there's more ladies besides my wife doing meals at our home, and I praise the Lord for it. But they work hard doing that thing. And I come along and I sit down and I eat it. And I do a good job at doing that. But making it is another thing. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of this, and especially to make it to be a good meal. And it takes me a lot longer than it takes them to make that food. But when I'm doing it, when she's not there, when those girls aren't there, and I'm making that food, I truly appreciate the work that goes into it. And it does, you know, a lady will often say, or a cook will often say, you know, you put so much work into it, and it takes so little time to eat it. It's kind of amazing. You spend hours or even days, you know, preparing certain things, and then you sit down and you're full within, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, it's gone. And, you know, and the cook is sitting there saying, I did all that work. I hope it was worth it. You know, there's a lot of appreciation that needs to go into the work that is there, because it's you press, you go for so much, and then it's gone. The focus that is required for that food, it's hard when it's so fastly gone, if I could say that. Now, I'm not preaching, ladies, that did you hear Pastor this morning? It's not worth it. It is worth it, okay? But what we're talking about here is Jesus is not saying it's not worth the cooking. What he's saying is he's talking about life. He said, some of you are so pressing after something that is going to be gone very quickly. Here Jesus is saying, I want you to labor at something that is so much more important than this physical food. You know, so much emphasis is put on the temporal in life, isn't it? We spend our time, I want you to think about your life. How much time do we spend working? And I know some of you are retired, or maybe you're not at that age to where you're working yet. But how much of life is involved in labor? It's a lot, right? And it's something that we have to do. We don't have really the option just to stay at home and to see. Well, we do have the option these days to sit at home and do nothing, and we'll be provided for. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be that we go out and we work really hard for a long time and we get paid, and that's kind of the lot in life. We work really hard. We work really hard for other things. We work really hard in our homes to try to get them to that they need to be, you know, and there's always a project at home, right? You become a new homeowner and you've got to fix this, and there's always projects that need to be done. And as soon as you get done with that, the first thing that you fix is broke again. And you labor hard at those things. And that is life. And Jesus wasn't saying, don't work in life to fix your home. Don't work for those things. But what he's saying is, he said, that should not be the focus of our labor in life. If all we do here in life is take care of our job at the workplace, if all we do is come home and take care of our properties, if that's all we do is stand in the kitchen and make food, which all these are necessary. He's not preaching or teaching against any of these things, but he said if that's the focus of who you are in your life, he says we're missing the point. We're missing life. It's so easy to put focus on the temporal. It's so easy for you to, and I will say even me as a pastor, you say, Pastor, your job is spiritual. I want to tell you something. It is a spiritual thing, but it can be a very physical thing. Just waking up in the morning and going in and doing your stuff and coming home and doing, it can be very physical. It can be just kind of like that job mentality, which by the way, I don't like to look at my position here at this church as a job at all. In fact, I don't even like the fact of the way that's given, and we're going to talk about that sometime, but I don't even like you to picture what I'm doing as a job. This is a ministry in spiritual things to help our church to follow Jesus Christ. God wants us to put our efforts, this word labor, put our efforts into those things that are spiritual. So much emphasis put on temporal, and we can't totally get away from it. But I ask you this morning, even by way of application, what is your focus in life? I don't believe a Christian, listen to this, and I don't mean to say this in a wrong way, as we can be, you've heard the phrase, a workaholic. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with working hard. In fact, God wants us to work hard in our lives. He wants us to. But when it's what kind of work we're doing, and that's really the point. When our work for our properties, our jobs, our food, cleaning, all that, when that becomes more important than God, the focus is wrong. I'm thinking of Martha, Mary and Martha, remember? And Martha was working really hard at something good. And what was Jesus' words? Well, my words of what Jesus would have said is you're working too much for the temporal, Martha, rather than the eternal. And I just want you to think just for a moment. That's significant with the bread of life. Jesus saying, I must be your focus. I must be your bread. You see, bread is important. Bread is the thing that we need to follow after. Without it, we're gonna fall. You know, you can only decide to skip so many meals and you're going to fall. What needs to be there is that bread. It needs to be a focus. Jesus, God, needs to be our focus. And that's what he's telling these disciples here. Eternal nourishment must be the focus. Often we're like the crowd that is spending so much time for the bread. I want you to see next, I am. He is the essential for life. We talked about bread. We look at verses 31. Look at this. Our fathers, okay, here's a reference to that manna. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. Here Jesus is saying, yes, that was from God, but you're getting the true bread now. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I still don't think they understood. He said, he told them that, and then they're standing there like this saying, well, then give us the bread. And I think they were looking up at the sky probably waiting for manna to fall again. And he looked. Isn't it amazing how Jesus so many times, remember Thomas? I want a map. I want to have it all thought through. I want a vehicle to get there. And here we have these people that are saying, okay, well then we want the bread. And every answer that Jesus gives is always what? I am. Folks, can I tell you, that's what we're dealing here with this morning. No matter what we're looking for, Jesus has to be our bread. He's got to be everything. He's got to be everything. And here, he's the essential for life. Again, food, sustenance for life, our wrong views, priorities, What's important? The physical food. Again, I told you about my liking of bread and a liking of food. You ask, if my mother were here today, if you ask her, what was the first... I went to public school first through 12 is all we had back then. Homeschool wasn't even an opportunity there until about the time I was getting out. But I went to public school there, and my mom had to come and pick me up. We lived, about 25 minutes from town. My mom would come in grade school and pick me up. And if you asked her today, there's no doubt in my mind that she would know exactly the answer. So I'm not making it up. If I said, what was the first thing out of my mouth, the first question out of my mouth when I got into the car was what? You can probably guess it. What's for supper? What's for supper? Now, I know some of your boys said the same thing, or maybe some of your girls said the same thing. I don't know. Well, I'll tell you something. That was my question every day. I cared a lot about what we were eating. I cared for breakfast every single morning. What's for breakfast? What's for lunch? What's for supper? That was super important to me. I'm not preaching on that today, so don't go home and spank your kids because they're, asking for supper. The point is, we get so focused. I'm really not even talking about breakfast, lunch, and supper. We get so focused on the physical that we lose sight of what is so important. So important. Folks, it's so important that you get into your heart that you need Jesus. You need Him. If you're here this morning thinking that you can go through life without Jesus, we're deceived into thinking that there's something more. Life has got too big for you. Your clothes, your possessions, your job, the people in your life, the things that you do, your entertainments, they're so important. Your sports, whatever it is, so important. Your projects and all well-meaning things possibly, not always. But do you need Jesus? I get convicted sometimes when I sing that song, All I Need, He is All I Need. Is He all I need? A lot of times we have mispriorities, but He's got to be everything for us. I am the essential for life. I am. He is our salvation. You notice in verses 47 to 48, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. And we know that there's a salvation application there. Man's desire for eternity. You know that man was created to desire eternity? And again, I go to those atheists and say, you can deny God all you want to, but every man desires something for eternity. There has been placed something in him about what is going to happen after. Even in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. Now, you can say, that is an odd phrase, but what that really means, he set the world in their heart. He has set every man to desire and wonder and think about what is going to come. He's put it in everybody. There's a desire. And of course, there's a problem with mankind and eternity, and that's our sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In verse 23, for all have sinned. So there's a problem. The destination for the wages of sin is death. But the divine transaction of God, for he hath made him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We praise the Lord for what God has given, but folks, the answer is the same. He says, I am. Folks, honestly, the answer to everything, salvation, life, godliness, is the person of Jesus Christ. What are you allowing yourself in life today? And when I say today, I'm not talking about Sunday. I'm talking about right now in your life. Is he the bread of life? Jesus was saying, I'm the bread. Jesus, interesting, in verse 35, uses two words as we close. He said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. See, there's an invitation right in there. He that cometh to me, he said, come, would you come to me? Would you come to me and believe? Listen to this. Would you come to me and believe that I'm everything for salvation? Would you come to me and believe that I am everything for you in your life? I am your substance. I am your nourishment. I am your desire. I am your everything. Come to me and believe. And the invitation is the same to us this morning. Maybe there are some here today that you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And I'm talking about your eternal destiny. Here Jesus said, come to me. I am that answer. But I believe it's more than that. If you're saved here today, Jesus is speaking to you and he's saying, listen, would you believe that I am the importance, I am the sustenance, I am what you need, I am who you need. You are so gung-ho for this physical earth. You're so gung-ho for your work and the tasks and your to-do list and this and all the things. And he said, would you let me be your bread? And by the way, if I'm your bread, you're never going to be hungry again. We have a problem with that hunger. I don't know about you, but I eat a nice meal and it's only a little while later and I'm hungry again. Now that's normal in the human natural life, but I will tell you, as far as the spiritual realm, we come to when Jesus is our true bread, then we never get hungry again. It's when Jesus is not our spiritual bread of why we have hunger pangs again and again and again and again. If we would be fed and filled with Jesus, then we don't have any other needs and we'll always be filled. So where are you at this morning? Do you continuously feel like you're hungry? Now, as a Christian, we should be hungry for God's word. But when Jesus is our bread and stays our bread, then we're complete. We're complete in Him. Something that a lot of us don't really understand. But Jesus said, I am. I am the bread of life. Father, would you help us? I'll confess to you, I still don't understand it. I still don't get it. I am a person. You know, this writer of that song that we sang, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. The reason why that writer was prone to wander is because he didn't understand that Jesus was his bread of life. He went after other things in life and they left him hungry. And so many of us feel that, nah, Jesus isn't what I need. He doesn't have everything I need. And we go to the world, we go to our things, we go to our work, and we labor hard for that which perisheth. God, my prayer, our prayer this morning is that you would give us yourself, and you already have, but Lord, as you give yourself, that we would partake and feed on Jesus, feed on the bread of life, that we would never hunger or never thirst again. God, would you keep us close to you instead of going out and feeding so far away. God help us. God help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had another song picked, but what's that song that refers to the prodigal son? Feeding on the... What song is that? Hallelujah, I found him for my soul. Satisfied, is that it? Can we go to that song, Satisfied? I think it'd be good. I had picked a different song, but I think that would be a good song to go to this morning. I don't know what number we're at. Somebody finds it, shout it out. What is it, 298? 298, yep, there it is, 298. Let's go to that song, and let's ask the Lord to that we could be satisfied with the bread of life. Let's go ahead and stand as we sing. If God has worked in your heart, would you respond accordingly? All my life I have panted for a drink from some cool spring.
that I hoped would quench the burning of a thirst I felt within. Alleluia, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved.